This is CliffCentral.com.
CS says he just walked past Amanda and she was singing the No More Bullshit song, which is just fantastic. Imagine you walk past your mom or your grandma or whoever, and she's saying,
"Now you must remember, you should study hard and you should be working and you should earn this. You should come home at this time."
No more bullshit. Yeah. No more friggin' bullshit.
I just in it. The kitchen chopping away.
Right.
No more bullshit.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to Ben, who's off on a little trip next week. He's very excited about that.
Excited.
Ben goes away more than all of us. I thought about this the other day. He really has. You've got some part of your life together that the rest of us have not yet. Even though other parts of your life you may think we have in order, Ben definitely has this. You do a lot of interesting trips.
I have to. Otherwise, I may commit murder.
Really?
That's what it comes down to.
You think you might kill someone?
Yeah, well...
Who might be the first in the firing line? Poor Daniela?
It would be nothing personal. No, it would never be Daniela. It would be one of you guys.
Then best you go on your break.
And that's why I do it.
Yeah. This got really personal super quickly as
Try and take Amanda out. She's got some East Rand skills. She'll take you down.
Yeah, I tried to help him just now, telling him that my cousin's a vet and he must come on down to the East Rand with his cats. And then he was like, "Ooh, that sounds dodgy."
So, well, Amanda,
I'm not
going to
help him no more.
No, hang on.
So ungrateful,
Hang on. The conversation ended with me saying how much I appreciate it. But you sold it like your cousin has like a boot and like some cat food. She's like, "Okay, so, you know, if you want to come out to Easter End, I know my cousin. She's kind of like a vet."
Well, yesterday we found out that Miaz's was not well. What's the update?
Well, she did eat yesterday. She's looking a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
She walked downstairs once, but still not eating a lot and not purring a lot. But she is getting better, and that's a good sign. And by all counts, she just needs another day. But she just might be having like a bad day.
Cats are so temperamental and so complicated. They really are. They're just different to any other kind of animal. It's almost like they're not even from Earth.
Well, that's just it. So my brother's fiance is a vet. And she's dealt with Miaz's before, you know, when Miaz's had that cyst. So I said, "Look, I don't want to traumatize her by taking her to a vet again because that could just be like something really bad. Then she'll run away forever."
The tipping point.
So she just said, "Look, it's a fair point. You know, she went through a couple of symptoms and Miaz's wasn't really looking terrible. She is getting better, which means that it's progress." And you know, it could just come down to the fact that she's tired of winter taking so long. Yeah.
At least silver lining, she didn't run off yesterday. Just like go to that younger
couple. She doesn't look like she can actually physically run off right now. She's looking very...
Does her expression say, "I don't want to be here"?
Well, I think that's just her resting face is "I don't want to be here."
That's resting bitch face.
So she has a resting bitch face of cats.
Yeah. Look at my belly with all her cocaine this morning.
That has to be...
I know you're not interested in cats, but doing lines.
She's busy with lines right here. She's doing cocaine.
Breaking bad is happening?
And she doesn't even snort it. She tips it into her mouth.
She's put it into her grandpa sachet to try to throw us off.
We look away for one moment, Mama Lemonoy.
Look at you.
One moment.
You are so unhinged. Look at this. She's even left the residue of cocaine. Like, let me take a picture of that.
The traces of cocaine.
I just wiped it away.
She's
still on her fingers.
She's not making a rookie mistake by leaving that.
What's up with you?
Let me see.
I took an innocent headache powder, and now you guys are trying to make it seem like I need to be arrested.
It's just weird. When you say the word innocent, no one believes you.
Not a chance.
Nor do you use, headache powder and you chop it up with a card. Mm. Is it like hoping it into lines?
All right. Yesterday, Ben did what he thinks is a bit of a spoiler because he eventually watched that episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
but he actually was completely innocent. He was just talking about... You know, what he thought might happen with the White Walkers. And
It was a complete shot in the dark.
By the way, if you're still one of those people who needs an extra day to watch the show, then you give yourself... we will stop talking about this at 21 minutes past, all right? You can come back if you're listening live now. What an episode, though. I've been waiting to talk about this since I saw the pirated download on, what was it, Thursday? I wasn't going to wait.
I don't think a lot of people waited once they found out there's a leaked episode.
No.
I think I was the only one that waited.
Mm.
Yeah, well, you know what? Good for you. At least some people follow the rules. I couldn't be... The best scene for me in the whole... And I have watched it a couple of times, I'll be honest. I've watched this Game of Thrones episode a few times now. And like two or three times. It is superb. But there's one scene that just struck me as being absolutely brilliant. And it's the most unexpected scene. It's where the Hound, I mentioned this yesterday, the Hound and the ginger guy, the wildling, are talking to each other. It's one of the best dialogue scenes in television, and I'll tell you why. Because this is how men talk when they begrudgingly respect each other. This is how, like, alpha males talk to each other. And I want to know if girls can completely understand this, or whether men need to go for therapy, or whether this has always been from time immemorial. The only reason they included this scene in the show was because it's very funny, A, and B, this really is how guys talk to each other when they are as close as they can be to affectionate without losing their alpha male status. Do you know what I mean?
Completely.
With another man. Just exactly listen to this, and you'll see what I mean. This is genuine, like, brotherhood. And I don't think a lot of girls would understand this. So listen carefully, ladies. It's not going to spoil the show for anybody.
You're the one they call the dog. Fuck off. You told me you were mean. Were you born mean or you just said wildlings?
I don't give two shits about wildlings. It's gingers I hate.
Gingers are beautiful. We are kissed by fire. Just like you.
Don't point your fucking finger at me.
Did you trip into the fire when you were a baby?
I didn't trip. I was pushed.
Ever since, you've been mean.
Will you fuck off?
I don't think you're truly mean. You have sad eyes.
You want to suck my dick, is that it?
Dick?
Cock.
Ah, dick. I like it.
Bet you do.
No, it's pussy for me. I have a beauty waiting for me back at Winterfell. If I ever get back there. Yellow hair, blue eyes.
Tallest woman you've ever seen. Almost as tall as you.
Brienne of Tarth.
You know her?
You're with Brienne of fucking Tarth.
Well, not with her yet. But I see the way she looks at me.
How does she look at you? And she wants to carve you up and eat your liver?
You do know her.
We've met.
I want to make babies with her. Think of them. Great big monsters. They conquer the world.
How did a mad fucker like you live this long?
That's it. That's the whole thing. By killing people, he says. It's just the most awesome scene because this has never really put on film that much, this kind of thing. That's how guys talk to each other.
But I also feel like where the show is right now, they can kind of share characters like that because you almost feel you know them so well. That wouldn't have happened in the first couple of seasons.
No.
A conversation like that.
No, you need to know them, right? Yeah.
But the best part about that scene is later on when they're fighting the dead, the White Walkers, there is a moment where the red-headed guy seems like his life is about to end. And then what's his name over there comes back and he helps him. He saves his life.
Ah, well, exactly.
So, you know.
You could see that's genuine affection. Now, you know, this is kind of the weird thing about men is if you were a... If you were an observer and you saw these two talking to each other like that, you'd go, wow, they really are horrible people and they hate each other. But that's how people, that's how men talk to each other when they actually begrudgingly respect each other, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how every round of golf is for me.
Right, and I've often said to people who will see me and my friends being rude to each other and talking to each other like, you know, like there's animosity, or like we're arguing or like we're angry. That's actually very healthy, normal social behavior. It's when, I mean, the day I ever have to go, oh my God, I'm so sorry, you know, tell me your story. Tell me how you feel. Then you know there's something wrong. You know, I've completely, like a couple of circuits have gone crazy and wired themselves incorrectly, and there's something going wrong in my brain.
I once had a chat with this guy at this golf course, and then this other guy who I was playing with that day just said, you do realize the two of you just insulted each other for 5 whole minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
You must be pretty good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just a different wiring circuit.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's all it is.
Women would not talk to each other that. I've heard you talk to someone who you do, who I know you like, Mabali.
Mm.
And you've spoken like that a little bit. But yes. It's not the genuine default setting for women. You don't sit there and start insulting each other.
No.
But for Mabali Moloi personally, it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But that's because she's also a little bit fucked up.
Yeah, she's a bitch. Yeah. She's just a major, major bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're more nurturing.
Yeah.
You're more abrasive.
And if you hear men talking like that, do you think, oh my, they've got such problems?
No, I think it depends. I mean, I think the older you get as a woman, you understand that, well, guys speak a different language. And then also, if you grew up around guys, like if you have older brothers or you grew up in a setting where you were surrounded by a lot of guys, you get it fairly quickly that, oh, well, there go those Neanderthals loving each other again.
Right, yeah, Neanderthals. You know, it's where we are. We're happy to admit it.
Yeah.
You know, for me as well, going into an all-boys school, high school,
yeah.
It was a bit of like, what? Why are you guys so like rude to each other? What is this? Yeah,
and especially for you, because you grew up in a house full of girls.
All girls, and also my father as well is like very, you know, caring, affectionate man.
Yeah.
So we don't even have this, you know, sort of.
So, Sia, we're essentially
in our relationship.
So, on the show here, we're essentially broadening you with being just such rough bastards.
Well, after 5 years. At an all-boys school as well. This is like nothing now. Because boys are just rough.
I mean, if I had to read an email from a friend of mine, this is from my best friend. I was the best man at his wedding. His email goes like this. Douchebags to me and my other friend. Aside from the grim reality that you're both getting even fucking older, further manifesting itself this weekend, the unimaginable tragedy is that I shall be unable to contact you on your days of doom to commiserate, as I will be completely off the grid this weekend. So please don't cry big crocodile tears if you don't hear from me on Saturday. I will be in touch once I'm back in a spot with reception, i.e. I'm not being rude.
Mm.
You old cunts, E.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you see. You see. I mean, just that opening.
You know,
I mean, just that opening, douchebags.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It kind of sets the tone.
And then the other friend replies, well, aren't you a ray of fucking sunshine on a tempestuous and stormy day?
No.
Don't worry, dear. Even though technology cannot bridge the impending chasm between us, I know that I will be tenderly wrapped in your heart on Saturday, as is the case every other day. Look forward to catching up once you are back in civilization. And this is how we talk to each other.
What's the most conventionally affectionate thing you've ever said to one of your male friends?
I'm sorry your grand died.
That's the extent of...
That's the furthest. Not a... You've never said like... You're hey, like, man. Oh, hey. Love you, bro.
Hey, man. I'm sorry your grand died. Yeah, but if I said that, I'd be drunk. They'd know straight away. You do that when you're drunk. it just seems like the more mean and nasty and rude you are,
the more you really
the more you
love
like
them.
Someone.
Yeah,
because you're never going to be that impolite with someone you don't like.
Mm, even though you really want to.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Someone you don't like, you're going to be. I find myself. Look, I'm not an impolite person.
Yes.
I know that. There are people who've heard me express an opinion or they've seen me on TV and then they assume that I am rude. My default setting is to be impolite. I'm very careful and courteous in real life. But around the people that I like the most, I find myself being, you know, sarcastic and all of that stuff.
It's got to do with actually wanting to engage. So if someone says, hi, how are you today? And you go, yeah, I'm fine. How are you? That's like, this is all we've got. But if someone says, hi, how are you? And I say, well, I look a whole lot better than you, you grumpy old git.
Yeah.
That's the desire to engage. Therefore, I want to actually have you in a conversation because I hold you dearer than the average person.
Amanda, you confused by this behavior?
No. I experienced this with my brother, my older brother. He does this to me.
Is he rude to you?
Like, yeah, him and his friends, they're just ridiculous. The stuff they send me and when they need to message me and how they talk to me.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's sort of slightly disrespectful.
Yeah, but no.
But in an affectionate way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
But it also comes down to how, remember a while ago there was that pickup artist craze? There was those books that were going around.
Yeah.
And their whole thing was that if you can like subtly insult girls, then they'll like you more. And there were all these little tests that went around, and it became like such a fashionable thing.
I don't know
if that
works.
There was a TV show around it.
Oh, I remember that. It's kind of like how if a boy was pestering you in primary school, an adult would probably say, oh, it's just because he likes you.
Yeah, the throwing sand in the playground.
The pulling of your bra strap or whatever.
Yeah. It's bra strap.
Okay, high school then. No, primary school.
No, but that is the thing. Yeah, when girls started wearing bras.
No, I'm not disputing that. That's just a very forward move for a young child.
Times have changed.
Yeah, but it all comes down to the fact that it's something that it shows that there's a connection. So even though it'd be like, hi, I think you're really pretty, a girl would be like, oh, whatevs. And then you go, well, I bet you think you're prettier than you really are. They're like, what the hell? What did you just say?
Yeah, right.
See, I don't know. For me personally, because words matter, I do not find that flattering at all.
Until the guy's good looking, see it, and you're like, ooh, feisty.
No, you will get a punch in the throat if you say something like that to me. Don't, like,
punch in the throat? Look at how alpha male you've said to me.
This foot, calm
down. It is so not
cute. Stop it. See, are you getting very aggressive? Rot.
No, it's like, oh chick, you are 2D, thank you. I'm like, do you know who I think I am?
Oh, nobody gives a shit.
Okay.
All right. Let us get into some news.
Yeah.
My buddy's got the 5 things you need to know to start your day today. It's brought to you by Kolkaki's Pizzeria. They were advertising yesterday. I saw on our Twitter feed there were the specials, the 2-for-1 specials, which Ben mentioned yesterday, but they still have terrific stuff on their menu, and they're always reinventing themselves. They're always adding new dishes. And I know they've got a special celebrity chef series coming out soon. So keep an eye on that. Kolkaki's Pizzeria, there's one near you, and you need to get to it if you want one of those awesome thin crust pizzas. Best toppings you can get.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but winter is not letting go of us just yet. Okay. Cape Townians should brace themselves for some chilly weather.
Oh no.
Today, tomorrow, and even extending into Thursday, with snowfalls expected, also some rainfall coming along their way. Yeah. Snowfalls are expected over the high-lying areas of the Western Cape and then the southern parts of the Northern Cape today, and then again tomorrow and Thursday. Ah, the dreaded C word is still part of our vocabulary. Cold front.
We're going north of the wall.
It's exactly, that's what it feels like. It feels like we're on the set of Game of Thrones.
Mabale and I were talking about that last episode of Game of Thrones, and we both decided that while we were watching it, we were freezing cold.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because it was actually as cold as it is in the show, but we were both lying there watching it in different places, and we said the next morning, God, that episode was freezing.
Also, when you look into the face of the White Walkers, man, with those blue eyes of theirs, you just feel cold instantly. I don't know. So, a cold front is expected to make landfall and over the southern parts of the province. And as I said, the same setup is expected on Wednesday and into Thursday. So, sorry about that, Cape Town. Meanwhile, 4 suspects appeared in the Escort Magistrates Court in KwaZulu-Natal yesterday in connection with a case of cannibalism.
What?
They are facing charges of murder and conspiracy to commit murder. Now, one of the suspects turned himself in, saying that he is tired of eating human flesh. He's tired. He's done.
Well, it's escorts. I mean, what else? It's not much around there.
The man gave police part of a human leg and hand as proof. And so further investigation led police to a house in Rainsburg Drift, where more...
What a horrible sounding place.
Where more human remains were found. So three more suspects were arrested in the area, and it's believed that the men raped, killed, and cut up a woman before eating her flesh.
Ah!
Guys.
Oh, that is horrible.
No, it's disturbing to say the very least.
Wow.
People are so sick.
People are so sick. I mean, if they're going around eating other human beings, they're definitely sick. But then an entirely different kind of warning coming from the likes of Elon Musk. Killer robots are on the way.
No.
Elon Musk is leading a demand for a global ban on killer robots, warning technological advances could revolutionize warfare and create new weapons of terror that will target innocent people. The CEO of Tesla and SpaceX has joined more than 100 robotics and artificial intelligence entrepreneurs. They all signed a letter to the United Nations the other day calling for action to prevent the development of autonomous weapons. Lethal autonomous weapons threaten to become the third revolution in warfare. This is a warning that came via the statement that has been signed by 116 tech luminaries.
Wow, that sounds terrifying.
Give me more, come on.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit scary.
Well, it's the Terminator. That's the whole thing. It's Skynet. It's the Terminator. He's coming to get us.
Yeah, but how do we feel about this?
I mean, I'm not happy.
You're not happy about autonomous weapons?
I'm not 100% sure. You know, if Elon Musk is saying we should be careful of it, and he's made so many good bets on the future, I'm a little nervous.
Guys, if Elon Musk is saying this is because he wants to make good robots. This is how he gets funding, by saying, well, we need a good robot army.
Him and the other 115, Ben, all looking to profit.
Look, he wants to make
profit.
He wants to make an army so he can subtly kill Zuckerberg. We know this.
Oh, yes.
Then I'm with him.
Oh,
that guy is pure evil.
What?
Are you kidding?
We'll never hear the end of this.
What makes Zuckerberg evil?
What doesn't make him evil?
I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to make a prediction, and we'll talk again in 5 years' time.
Okay.
You watch the sack of shit run for public office soon.
Which he keeps saying that he's not planning on doing.
Watch
means
him.
He is.
Yeah.
And he will use Facebook as a tool to make the world his bitch. And he's going to extract every single bit of usefulness out of the world for himself. This is not a philanthropist. This is not a good person. This is someone who wants to do social engineering on all of us. And he has set his sights not only on being president of the United States, but on forming some kind of a super state using Facebook. You mark my words. 5 years from now, everyone is going to... It's going to be too late, by the way, because Zuckerberg, if you don't like him, will be mining through your information on Facebook. He will be digging into your DMs, and he will be finding reasons to blackmail and extort you into listening to him. You watch. This is an evil human being.
So basically,
forget about the robots. Zuckerberg is a danger to our freedom.
Would that then make Elon Musk our Jon Snow?
Yeah.
He's our great hope to stop this evil force.
Elon Musk's Jon Snow, and Zuckerberg is the White Walker, the Night King.
Oh, okay.
Combined with Cersei Lannister.
Oh my God,
oh
yes.
My gosh.
Yes, he's both of those.
What a combination.
Yeah. He's got both of those. And so sinister is this man that the only place he can't get into is China. And so desperate is he to get into China that he marries a Chinese woman and he has a child that he hopes will infiltrate China for him. He's so strategic and Machiavellian. You watch.
Do we know that she's full Chinese, though? Is she not American Chinese?
No.
Well, this all checks up with me, Gareth.
You and your you know what? Right now, I am well within my rights of accusing you of being a conspiracy theorist.
Okay, guys, one other thing before we get to Ben. This is useful information. One fart burns 67 calories. Farting 52 times in a day can burn a pound of fat.
So what? Am I supposed to just fart on command?
No, you just meant to live alone. That's pretty much the moral of the story there.
If you fart 52 times in a day, I think no one's going to want to be around you, right?
If you fart 52 times a day, you got to check your diet.
That's quite a lot of farts. 67 calories per fart. Yeah. Think about that. You type that in on Google, and you will see. It's true. I tuned in and heard Game of Thrones and I had to stop immediately. I'll get back for my Bally's news. And then what did we do? We talked about Game of Thrones in the news as well. All right, it's time for us to get to Ben and find out what's happening in the sport. Better get your fill of Ben's sport because he's not here next week.
Yeah, I'll try check in from time to time. You know, I always care about you. Club Med Bintan Island.
God, that sounds nice.
So basically, I fly to Singapore and then an hour boat trip. Gareth, there is the most amazing golf course in Asia. It's designed by Mr. Gary Player. It's jungle.
Wow.
And then it's just like island, tropical. It's super, super, super special. Yeah. Anyway, Springboks. So they're wearing red this week.
Yeah. And doesn't people, work for their sponsor, MTN, huh?
Well, exactly. There's many, many sideshows around this whole red thing. But let's just throw that all aside and actually be serious for 1 second and say the red is for unity. This is the whole thing that they're trying to push. It's 25 years.
Red is not for unity. Red is a color of danger and violence.
Which, again, Gareth, let's just try to be serious and let's try to be down the line about this one. So throughout the Springboks of the last few years, they've been wearing a variety of jerseys in practice, right, to symbolize the South African flag, which to me is, again, I try not to be cynical, but it doesn't make any difference because no one cares what you're practicing.
No.
You can be practicing in an old painted shirt for all we care. So they're saying is, well, we've gone through this whole process. Red is the final color in the flag. We're representing that for 25 years of unity. And everyone goes, oh, it's red. It's terrible, blah, blah. But what if, for a second, they want to actually just show unity? How do they do it? Well, everyone's got an idea, right? But obviously everyone's got an idea because they're like assholes. Everyone's got one.
Yeah.
But let's just go with this. This is their idea, okay? This is their team. This is their thing. These are the guys that make decisions. So how about just support it? Because the idea of unity is something that we maybe forget. Everyone's getting so caught up about the fact that they're wearing a red jersey. Everyone from Bucky's Boerter to like dead rugby players, everyone's having a go by the looks of things. But what about we could look at what it actually symbolizes? We need to be more unified in this country, and I think people always forget that because rugby is just full of silos of boychies. And that's exactly what it is. It's been run by this brotherhood for so, so long. It's getting better, but if you really were to look across the board and you look how things are working around, there's a fantastic article on Sport24 right now. I tweeted it yesterday. Maybe we should consider things around unity rather than bitching about a color of a jersey. It's just the jersey. It's not like we're going to go, oh, who's the red team? We know it's the box. So I think, again, it's like not sweating the small stuff, learn to fight the right things. Let's not fight the red jersey. It's rather focus on unity and how are we going to do things better to be a unified force. Wow, that's a really, really serious rant.
Look at you.
That wasn't planned. The weather was really crappy in PE, so the Bucks have changed their travel schedule somewhat.
Oh.
So they were going to spend 2 days in PE, which is the longest anyone's actually spent in PE who doesn't live there. And what they were going to do is then fly to Buenos Aires because playing in Salta is difficult. This is horrible.
Yeah.
This is like you get those pompous people who want to get married somewhere rustic, and then you got to spend 3 weeks getting there and like all your year savings. Basically, the Bucks have to go from PE to Joburg, Joburg to Buenos Aires. Sorry, Joburg to Sao Paulo because you can't fly direct to Argentina.
All right.
Sao Paulo to Buenos Aires. And then Salta is 1,400 kilometers away from that.
So do you fly there or drive?
Well, Gareth, I don't know. I'm sure there's a horse involved at some stage. But this is the whole problem. So you play a test match on Saturday, right? When you're over, you play a test match. It's like being in a multiple car pileup. You feel like crap the next day.
Yeah.
No matter your age, it feels like you've literally been in a minibus taxi with no seatbelt. Now you've got to recover, and now you've got to travel all that way. Yeah. You get to Salta, and you're going to be screwed. It's one of the most abrasive places to play rugby, where you'll just have Spanish insults thrown at you all day. And you've still got to be a professional rugby player after this. It's tough, and people still want to give them crap about wearing a red jersey. So this is a week, if you ever want to show you're a Buck fan, this is it. These guys have got it up against it here. And this is exactly why Johan Ackermann didn't want to go play in Jaguares country.
How are
it? It just drains you. Drains you to death. So that's the box.
That sounds like a shitty hand to be dealt.
It is a bit, Gareth. It is a bit. But good news for the box is they're now the fourth best team in the world, according to the World Rugby rankings. Huh. Australia has slipped down to fifth. But above South Africa is Ireland in third, England in second, and New Zealand, who are very much cemented as number one team. That's it. They're the best team in the whole world. Lucas Podolski, do we know who he
is? Yes, of course. He was in the German team that won the World Cup.
Okay,
he's Polish, and he's now in Germany, and he's one of their star players.
So you wouldn't say he's a migrant from some horrible area trying to get into Europe?
Well, yes, I said Poland. Of course he is.
Okay, so Breitbart, right? That's a website with...
It's a right-wing news business online.
So what they've done is they posted a picture of Lucas Podolski and a friend on a jet ski, and they've said they crack down on Spanish police are cracking down on gangs moving migrants by jet skis.
So what?
They've taken on what they think is a big story, but someone stupidly has used a picture of Lukas Podolski as a migrant being shuffled across on a jet ski.
Wow.
So they have since apologized, but now Podolski is actually looking to sue these guys.
Wow. Because they're sensitive about it. Wow. I would have laughed it off.
Yeah. Well, people are really upset about this. People are very, very upset about the fact that Boris Becker has no more money. So not only
is he totally?
Yeah, he's bankrupt.
Oh, shame.
Nah, he's screwed.
That's horrible.
And then Djokovic dropped him, and then like BBC gave him a commentary gig. But now the German Federation of Tennis is making him the head of tennis. So good on them.
Well, it's really just to give him some income, right?
Well, that's exactly what it is, Gareth.
Shame.
He burst on the scene, obviously, as a fiery ginger at the age of 17, winning Wimbledon in 1985. Since then, he's lived a bit of a life, and he's been he's obviously had a good time of things. He still has his hair, but he has no money. He's obviously made some bad choices. He's been friends with the wrong people. But good to see the German Tennis Federation is helping him out here. It's always nice to see.
Shame.
In the crickets, Graham Smith is now the head coach of a team in that T20 league, the Benoni Zilliams, or
that's embarrassing.
So he was made head coach. Jeffrey Toyon has been made the assistant coach. So here we go again. Everyone's going, oh my gosh, how is it that a white guy just gets a big job like that? And then the black guy is like the
assistant.
Fiddle.
Yeah.
Well, okay, look, I agree with that sentiment because I think it's wrong. Graham Smith has never coached anybody. Yeah. I mean, he can coach his mates to a down, perhaps, but I mean, I don't think he's ever had formal coaching in cricket. Although it'd be great to see these ex-stars, as someone especially like Graham Smith, come back into the system and give his expertise, whether he's a coach. Well, see, there's that argument. Then there's the other argument of saying, well, the Benoni team is owned by a foreigner, so I mean, they could make me their coach if they want. They're entitled to. They've bought the team. They've got everything there. So they decided they want Graham to be the coach.
Yes.
Again, you can read into that as much as you want. Other cricket news, Sri Lanka is so crap at cricket right now, their fans have been barricading their exits from stadiums.
Hmm.
The team bus was taunted by about 50 fans on the last loss, basically saying, we want our cricket back, you guys are crap, boo to politics and cricket, and they were really quite upset.
Wow.
And then they moved when they were asked to, which was quite nice. It didn't get violent.
And isn't that nice that it didn't get violent?
They just shouted and screamed. Really upset. They were screw this. Guys are crap.
Okay.
Losing money.
They basically did what all those people in the crowd did when Cersei was walking through town with the shame bell. Just shouted and heckled. And
just not quite as aggressive or demeaning, yeah.
Okay.
Gareth, that is pretty much it for the sport this week. We start the FedEx Cup on Thursday, which is the big money series in the world of golf, which then is followed by the President's Cup. So we've got 5 or 6 weeks of huge golf to come. And then, of course, there is the Rugby Championship. So, SFS Argentina and Salta. And then Australia go to New Zealand for an even bigger beating than last week.
All right.
Au revoir, my dear.
All right, let's get to Anthea, see what's happening with the money. So hard for the money. She be dancing for them dollars. She be dancing for them dollars. She be dancing for them dollars. Dancing for them dollars. Let's just be very clear. Anthea does not dance for them dollars.
No, ma'am. No, she does not.
But she rands. Is on. Yeah, it's for rands, and rands we know are worth a lot less than dollars. Hey, Anthea. Good morning.
Good morning. And sometimes she sings for her money as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do in this economy.
Yeah. Oh yes. So yesterday the market was up about 0.25%, which was nice because there seems to be this kind of global risk-off sentiment hanging over the market. I mean, Europe was all red yesterday. The U.S. managed last night a positive close, but that was after our market closed. So maybe we'll see the benefit of that today. And then considering there are so many results releases in our market, it was such a quiet day. Only $1.2 billion traded. And of that, a third of that $1.2 billion traded in the closing auction, which is basically the last 10 minutes leading up to 5 p.m. So a very odd behavior in the market yesterday. Most of the indices were higher, just barely higher. But then gold shares really struggled. And this is despite the gold price being so much higher. I mean, I spoke yesterday about Harmony and Goldfields, and then during the day yesterday, Anglo Gold released results. They made a headline earnings loss of 22 US cents per share. So that's really not great. I mean, they did guide us towards that sort of number, but this was very much at the lower end of it. I think the number turned negative after they accounted for they're doing redundancies, so they've had to account for payouts in their redundancies, and then also an estimation of or provision of this for the silicosis class action lawsuit. I mean, I spoke yesterday about Harmony and Goldfields and Sibanye, all of them making provision for it. So I think it's quite a huge thing. So, you know, this is part of, this came out of last year.
I have a feeling you moved those things just by talking about how rubbish gold was yesterday.
Oh, you're blaming me.
I'm going to blame you.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. I mean, people should be aware that you have the power to sway the markets.
So it's not all the numbers. I just quoted numbers.
Yeah.
I'm just pragmatic about this.
Sure, don't try to sound so innocent.
Okay. Talk about Pragmatica numbers. Do you want to talk about ANN7, the sale to Jimmy Manu?
Well, this is just ridiculous. This is a front. Jimmy Manu is about as much of a businessman as let me think of a good example here. As Adolf Hitler was a famous artist.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay.
That's not the first thing that springs
analogy.
To mind. When you say the name Jimmy Manu, I don't immediately think, wow, entrepreneur, businessman, a guy who can get a media business right. I think of someone who's just a front for the Guptas.
But so here's the thing. He's paying 450 million rand for ANN7 and the New Age, so 300 and 150 respectively. I have a question for you. Do you think, let's assume that he bought it for really cheap, say a 5x price earnings ratio. That means at 450 million rand, those two businesses make 90 million rand a year in profit. Is that even possible?
No.
Okay.
Unless they are really a front, a laundering operation for government advertising money. In other words, that government spend a huge amount of money, and we know that this happened with those breakfasts that the SABC had to host, where ANN7 and the New Age got all the money. So perhaps there's a huge income stream from government advertising on the one hand.
Okay, but
this is not a channel that has any viewers. I mean, no one watches them. I would love DSTV to publish their figures on their ratings. I guarantee you that that's one of the least watched channels on television.
And that's the other problem, right? Because they're tied to DSTV, so they're contractual. Oh, excuse me. And if DSTV stopped that contract, then there really is nothing in this business.
I think DSTV
90 million rand a year in profit.
As a matter of moral principle, DSTV should pull that channel, and the New Age should stop being given away for free on SAA. Because I'm sure SAA where you pay for something and it kind of covers half the costs of the operation. What is it called?
Subsidizing.
There we go. Thank you. I'm a complete moron this morning. I bet you SAA was subsidizing the sale of New Age by buying in bulk. Again, something that would only happen if you had crony capitalism in the system.
And then, of course, you know that he's not paying for it, right? It's all done through vendor financing. So basically, the Guptas are giving him, not even giving him money, giving him shares and then paying off this 450 million through dividends or through staggered payments over however many years. So it's not like he's actually buying it either. It's not like he's gone to the bank, taken a loan or taken money out of his savings and put it into the business. I mean, so when you say a front, you may have that spot on.
All right. Well, there we go. So anyone who thinks that this means that Jimmy Manu is suddenly a businessman and has lots of money and has invested in the New Age and ANN7, you're insane. Have you watched that channel before?
A little bit. Doesn't inspire me.
I mean, North Korea has better television and more free, fair, and balanced television. Anyway. All right. So there's Jimmy Manu. We can consign that to the rubbish bin of economics.
There you go. Another business. Down the tube, I reckon.
Yeah.
And then Sasol put out their full year results yesterday as well. I mean, also really not a good news story. 15% year-on-year decrease in headline earnings per share. Mm. And there's this funny thing with them and SARS. SARS are now claiming that Sasol has a liability to them for over 11 billion, not millions, 11 billion rand. And yeah, and Sasol have made a provision for like a tenth of that. So, wow. Of course, I know, it's just, nobody seems to know how they even came up with this number. It's just the most bizarre thing. But yeah, the result's not great. I mean, it does look like Sasol are slowly turning the business around. You know, they've had some decent production numbers. They've had some good cost initiatives. They've even had a slightly lower effective tax rate this year, apparently not according to SARS, though. Mm-hmm. Although that's not really sustainable. You know, this like once-off lower tax rate is probably just, it'll wash out next year.
All right.
So yeah, it's not a company I want to rush to at the moment. I'd like to see a bit more kind of turnaround in that. And of course, this lower oil price is not going to help it. So
no, absolutely not. Okay,
there we go.
Thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure. Thanks, Gareth.
Update for us. Thank you very much, Anthea Gardner, the Money Shot. It's time for Said by Sia. Here's your daily dose of useful, wise, and inspiring stuff from the resident millennial. By the way, did you see I posted something on Instagram that will help millennials understand how the eclipse happens?
Oh, no.
Yes.
When was this? Yesterday,
no,
of course.
No, this morning. It goes something like this. If you go to the moon's account on Instagram, you'll see @damoon_ I will block the sun. And then the moon actually goes onto the sun's account and blocks @sun. So that is for millennials who don't understand what the eclipse is. All right?
Thank you very much. This is so eye-opening in many, many ways. Well, I saw this clip on my timeline a couple of days ago, and really, with so much going on all over the world, really, and whichever side of the coin you might be on, I think it's so powerful. And it's from 1981. It's something that President Ronald Reagan said. And really, sometimes you can never speak to ignorant people and they might not be able to listen to you. But I think what he said at this convention back in 1981 was so, so powerful. So yeah, take a listen to this and maybe it will change your heart or at least make you think about, you know, what to do about this world.
Well, this was President Ronald Reagan, who was president before Sia was born.
But listen to this.
Before Thriller came out.
Recently, in some places in the nation, there's been a disturbing reoccurrence of bigotry and violence. If I may, from the platform of this organization, known for its tolerance, I would like to address a few remarks to those groups who still adhere to senseless racism and religious prejudice. To those individuals who persist in such hateful behavior, if I were speaking to them instead of to you, I would say to them, you are the ones who are out of step with our society. You are the ones who willfully violate the meaning of the dream that is America. And this country, because of what it stands for, will not stand for your conduct.
Wow. See, in a world where Trump can't say those things, it's good to know you can dip into history and find some wise words.
Mm. You are the ones who are out of step with our society.
Damn straight. There we go, Ronnie.
Thank you for that.
Good man. That's Ronald Reagan, president. He was the 40th president of the United States. Of course, he didn't remember by the time he retired.
Oh, okay. That's it. We were
You know the story about Ronald Reagan? Light. Ronald Reagan, he had an assistant called Rose, and he would go, he'd go up to his wife, whose name was Nancy, and he'd say, and he turned to his assistant Rose and say, "What's that flower called?" And she'd go, "Rose." And he'd go, "Rose, what's my wife's name?" And then, all right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's move on. We've got lots to do this morning.
Oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, we got some news. We've got plenty of good stuff to talk about, and we have a plus size model coming in to see us this morning from Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week. Which, of course, took place. Sia, how was it? You went to the fashion shows.
Very rah-jah-jah.
Yes.
Instead of champagne, there was coffee, but people still looked good. Yes. It was a whole spectacle.
And we will also be speaking to a guy who dabbled in radio in his younger years, but is now the chief legal advisor and head of legal for Old Mutual. How's that?
Mm.
Sure, that's quite a turnaround.
I know.
There's hope for us, folks.
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
It's why we're interviewing him. He's the exception to the rule. Police. All right, everybody, let's get stuck into your day, shall we?
We really are the greatest advocates for a career in radio, aren't we?
Absolutely. No, when people, we are always so happy in the mornings. Like,
when people ask, I just say, don't go into it. You don't want to.
Oh, no.
No.
Yes, you do.
Bad idea. No, you don't. Radio is horrible, and it's dying. It's dying this terrible death. Don't go into radio.
You're ready for your talk tonight.
Is that what I'm talking about? Well, yeah. All right. Listen, everybody.
We'll refine it by 5 o'clock today. Yeah,
let's just cut. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll cut that part out of the podcast so that the people tonight don't hear it in case
there we
you
go.
Know, yeah, conflicts yeah. with what I'm going to tell them.
Great.
All right. Let's get your day off to a good start.
You got that thing that I've been looking for. This is CliffCentral.com.